This week's parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, holds within it very important keys to how we as Jews deal with our troubles and what is the role of hishtadlus, or efforts, when we're confronted with challenges. There are two kinds of challenges in life. One are personal challenges. I need a job. I need my children to have schooling. I need a parking spot. The next are communal challenges, national challenges. There's war, there's peace, there's economy issues. And how do we deal with both those kinds of challenges? The Tzeneh Rena addresses both of those issues in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha is a prototype for how to confront both types of challenges by looking at the interactions between two people, Yaakov and Esav. There are two brothers. Esav hates Yaakov and wants to kill him. As Yaakov leaves Lavan, he tries to make peace with Esav by sending him gifts. When we look at this story, this interaction is not just about two brothers. It represents two people, the children of Yaakov, the Jewish nation, and the children of Esav, the Romans and their descendants. Today, I want to examine what constitutes proper efforts and what is the symbolism behind Yaakov's efforts and how those efforts can have different meanings when viewed literally and then when viewed metaphysically. The parsha begins that Yaakov sends a group of malachim to Esav, his brother, with the following message. So you should say to my master, Esav, this is what your servant Yaakov says. I stayed with Lavan and remained there until now. I have an ox and a donkey and sheep and servants and maidservants, and I have sent to tell my master to find favor in his eyes. The Malachim give this message over to Esav, and they return with the message that Esav is coming with 400 men and is not to have a party and a concert. Immediately, Yaakov does three things. He splits his camp into two camps. He davens to Hashem, and he sends gifts of animals that the Torah lists by order and by number. The Tzeneh Rena analyzes each part of the details of the story. By looking at his explanations, we can have more of an understanding about how we can approach challenges. The Parsha begins with Yaakov sending Malachim before Esav, his brother. Malachim have two meanings in Hebrew. It means angels, and it also can mean messengers, because angels are messengers of Hashem. This is the machlokas of Rishonim. The Tzeneh Rena chooses to go according to the opinion of Rashi and only writes that Yaakov sent actual angels. And to these angels, Yaakov said the phrase, so you should say to my master, to Esav. If he was saying this to a human messenger, why would Yaakov give so much honor before his messengers to say, you should say to my master? The Tzeneh Rena says we are forced to say that the messengers were literal angels, and among these angels was the angel of Esav. Therefore, Yaakov gave honor to Esav, even if he wasn't in front of Esav, because the angel of Esav was there, and it was he who Yaakov was calling master. Yaakov was afraid of the angel of Esav, that he shouldn't harm him, because a malach has power to do so. This is the first glimpse that we can get into the approach of the Tzeneh Rena, that Yaakov was not afraid of people, but he was recognizing the power of the spiritual forces that were at play here. So what is this message that Yaakov asks the Malachim to give to Esav? He asks them to say, Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan. This is a strange turn of phrase. Why is that the message that's being sent after 22 years of separation? The Tzeneh Rena says that this message has a double meaning. Why did Esav hate Yaakov? He hated him because he stole the brachos. But he hadn't managed to benefit from those brachos all these years. He had lived with Lavan practically as a slave. And so he was saying to him, I have worked really, really, really hard until I pieced together some livelihood. So really, there's no need to hate me. On a basic level, don't hate me because I didn't benefit from the brachos. But there's another meaning. Garti is a strange word to say right now. It hints to a deeper truth. The letters of Garti, Gimel Resh Taf Yud, have the same value as the word Taryag, 613. Because Yaakov, despite living with a wicked and deceitful Lavan, nonetheless kept 613 commandments. He kept all the mitzvos of the Torah. Im Lavan Garti, v'taryag mitzvos shamarti. I may have lived with Lavan, but I kept all the mitzvos. Yaakov is saying, our father Yitzchak blessed me and said, when will the blessings happen? Only at the time when Yaakov keeps the Torah. And if not, then the hands of Esav will be more powerful. And therefore, Yaakov says, I'm informing you that even though I lived with a wicked man like Lavan, I kept the 613 mitzvos. I am deserving of the blessings and you won't be able to harm me. The next part of the message is also strange. This is his brother, who he hasn't seen in 22 years. And he's saying, I'm just letting you know that I have bank accounts, real estate, and I own two cars and a minivan. So this is what basically Yaakov is saying by saying, he's giving an accounting of his possessions. He's saying, I have oxen and donkey, sheep and slaves. So why is he listing his possessions? on the basic level, he's saying, my father blessed me that I should have mitala shemayim u'shmishmanei ha'aretz, from the dew of the heaven and from the fat of the land. And the things that I own are not from the earth and not from the heaven. The blessings from my father have not yet been fulfilled, so you don't need to hate me. That's on the basic level. The order of the possessions mentioned point to this idea. The small livestock, the sheep and goats, are sandwiched in a sort of roundabout way, between the ox and the donkey and the slaves. Rabbeinu Bachaya writes that the small livestock, the sheep and goats, are the most prized animals that a farmer could own. But Yaakov didn't want to remind Esav of these animals because the skins of the goats were what he used to clothe himself while taking the blessings from Esav. He put it on his neck and his hands, and he didn't want to mention it to arouse Esav's anger. He sort of swallowed up the word sheep that's sown in the middle of his whole speech. Later, after Esav makes peace with Yaakov, Yaakov first mentions the tzon and then the ox and the donkey because Esav's anger has already passed. In this line of thinking, the ox, donkey, and other animals send another message aside from listing bank accounts and holdings. They send a spiritual message as well. The Medrash explains that with this, Yaakov is hinting to Esav that he wasn't afraid of him because he had already had Yosef, who was called an ox, as it says, Bechor Sharo Hadarlo, which is referring to Yosef. Yosef is the nemesis of Esav, and Yaakov and Yosef together could destroy Esav. The Gemara says that once Yosef was born, Yaakov now had the spiritual power to defeat Esav. The Navi Ovadia speaks about the destruction of Edom, and he says, V'haya beis Yaakov le'esh, u'beis Yosef le'hava, u'beis Esav le'kash. The house of Yaakov will be a fire, the house of Yosef is going to be a flame, and the house of Esav is going to be straw, the dal kubahem, and they shall burn it, va'achlum, and they will devour it, v'lo yehes sarid le'beis Esav ki Hashem diber, and no survivor shall be left to the house of Esav. From the beginning, what we're seeing from this part of the parsha is that on the one hand, Yaakov is looking conciliatory. He's looking like he wants to befriend Esav. But on the other hand, he's also speaking spiritual truths which highlight his power and his spiritual strength over Esav. The response from the Malachim is not positive. Know that he stands in his hatred of you, and he is not yet your brother. He is Esav the Rasha, the evil one. Yaakov now engages in a three-part plan, which is the effort that we are meant to expend today when we have troubles. First, he worked out a strategy for battle and safety. Next, he davened for Hashem's salvation. And finally, he tried to avoid conflict. First, the pasuk tells us that Yaakov says, "V'haya ha-machaneh ha-nish'ar l'fleita," and the camp that remains will be for refugees. Yaakov divided his people into two camps, and he said, if Esav comes to one camp and he strikes it, Esav and his camp will be tired, and the second camp of Yaakov would still have the energy because they haven't fought yet, and they will kill Esav, who's going to be exhausted. And in any case, that camp would be left as refugees. That is his strategy. The Sena Arena then gives us a strategy for our form of Hestradlis that we are most familiar with, making a living. It's appropriate because we need to remember that all our efforts are merely the way we allow the miracles of Hashem to be manifest. What is the strategy of the Sena Arena? He says, from this Parsha Chazal learned that a person should always divide his possessions. A third should be in real estate, a third business, buying and selling items, and a third cash on hand. To put in modern language, if he diversifies his portfolio, if one of his investments fail, he will at least have some of his money left. And if he leaves one third of his cash on hand, he's going to have money to invest if opportunities arise. When it came to Yaakov Avinu, he was talking about saving his family from death. And here the Tzen Arena is bringing about how to invest our money. And the truth is, both are merely efforts that we employ in order to allow Hashem to choose how we're going to live. Yaakov then begins to dive into Hashem, which is the true source of power. He first says the following, Katonti mechol hachasadim, I am too small from all of your kindnesses. There are a number of explanations about how we pray when we are faced with troubles. Here Yaakov says that so many good things came to me from Hashem that I'm afraid that I've already maxed out from getting any more kindness from Hashem. Even though Hashem has already promised to be good to me, I am afraid that maybe chas v'shalom, in the middle of this whole episode, I sinned. All the chesed will stop. There are two elements that are being expressed by the Tzen Arena here. Number one, I can never do enough for that Hashem that makes me deserve any of what he has given to me. And number two, even if I may have been at one time worthy, I may have sinned and I might not be aware of my sin, which disconnects me from Hashem, so I'm now not worthy. This is how Yaakov starts and expresses how we are meant to feel about what Hashem gives to us. But that's not where he ends. He says, Because only with my staff, without a penny to my name, did I cross this Jordan at the time that I fled from my brother Esav. Now look at what I've become. I'm two camps. Rabbeinu Bachai writes, from here we learn that when a man succeeds, he must also remember the hard times he went through and give praise to Hashem that he helped him and took him out of his troubles in peace. Yaakov is remembering how Hashem has helped him in hard times at a time when he is again facing hard times. The idea that is contained here is a powerful one. The Tzferes Shlomo teaches the idea that when we thank Hashem for what was done in the past, it acts as a prayer and a guarantee for the future. We say in Tehillim, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, thank Hashem that He is good, Ki Li Olam Chasdo, because His kindness is forever. Thanking Hashem for what He has done in the past, for the good that He has done in the past, that He is Ki Tov, is a merit that that kindness will last, Ki Li Olam Chasdo, that kindness will last into the future. The message here from Yaakov is, thank Hashem for what He has done, as that is the most powerful tefillah you can have to guarantee that kindness in the future. The next step comes when Yaakov now is going to give presents to Esav. Ve'yikach min haba biyado mincha le'esav. And Yaakov took from that which came to his hands a gift for Esav. Yaakov took from all the sorts of things, even precious stones and pearls, which are things that can be held in our hands, and began to prepare them as a gift for Esav, his brother. Rabbeinu Bachaye and the Toldos Yitzchak write that Yaakov sent a big bird that is called a shparver, that there is a special quality to this bird, that if you go with him to hunt and carry him in your hand, the animals are drawn to it and come along for the hunt. Yaakov sent this very valuable bird into the middle of the camp, as it is something that was very important to Esav, because Esav was well known as a prominent hunter. There are two lessons. The first, that money is never as important to life. Yaakov is going to send his jewels, he's going to send his expensive gifts, his livestock that he's worked years for, because the main thing is that his children should survive. He had been promised by Hashem he would survive. He is doing this for his wife and his children to ensure that they will survive. Money is never equal to life. The next effort that Yaakov made was that he paid attention to what was important to the person he was bribing. Yaakov was not into hunting. He didn't value it. He thought it was probably gruesome. But when he needed to impress someone, he learned what was important to Esav and he bribed him based on that thing. This is actually really important for any relationship that we have, whether we're trying to bribe them to get out of trouble or we're trying to develop a closer relationship with somebody. We need to pay attention and empathize with what are they interested in rather than giving them something that we would want. Next in the Pesukim come a list of gifts. It tells us there are 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 she-donkeys and 10 he-donkeys. If we remember back to the beginning of the Parsha, the order of the animals have switched. In the beginning of the Parsha, it mentions the ox and the donkeys and then the sheep. And now it's mentioning the sheep, the small livestock, the sheep and goats first. And the reason we had said in the beginning was that Yaakov was afraid that he shouldn't mention the goats, because he didn't want to remind Esav of the whole story about how he used the skin of the goats. Here, he has a different vantage point. He has already davened Hashem, and he knows Hashem will help him, and he knows that he does nothing to be afraid of. And so therefore, he sends the goats first to show him, Dafka, specifically, I took the blessing of these goats, and the donkeys he presented him tinted that in the end, Mashiach would come riding on a donkey. Rather than cowering in fear, Yaakov is now telling Esav that he recognizes that there is a world plan, and with that will end with the dominance of Yaakov over Esav in the time of Mashiach. The Tzenarena then tells us another truth that we need to be aware of when talking about efforts and bitachon. Yaakov davened and gave Esav the message that Hashem will save him. However, davening does not mean that everything works out the way we want. Hishtadlus and tefillah is not like a vending machine where we put in money and out comes our requests. The Tzen Arena quotes the Toldos Yitzchak, who asks an important question. In the last parak, when Lavan was coming to kill Yaakov, Hashem intervened and he appears to Lavan and tells him, back off. Why doesn't Hashem do the same thing here? Why didn't Hashem go to Esav and say, don't try to touch Yaakov Avinu. Let's take your 400 men and turn around and come back, go back to where you came from. The reason is Hashem wants there to be a power like Esav in the world. Esav is the vehicle to balance out the Jewish people when we stray too far from the Torah and mitzvos. The bracha from Yitzchak to Yaakov was that when Yaakov does mitzvos, he controls Esav. But when Yaakov does averos, Esav has the power to bring Yaakov and his children back to Hashem. Klal Yisrael would then know that they need to cling to Hashem and know that for any trouble that they might come their way, they must turn to Hashem for help and not think that surely he's going to come to my aid. Surely he's Yaakov is meant to be afraid, and he's meant to think that Esav is capable of harming Yaakov, that the angel of Esav is really the power behind the situation that's going on now. And therefore, they must know that the only address that we should turn to is Hashem Ein Od Melvado. There is nobody else but him. In this battle between Esav and Yaakov, Yaakov is more powerful than any angel because he is doing the right thing. In a few psukim, we're going to see that Yaakov wrestles with Esav's angel and wins. We have the power to overcome the power of Esav in this world as long as we are equipped with prayer and mitzvos and stay free from sin. V'hulan b'layla ha'hu b'machneh. That night, Yaakov sleeps not in his tent, but in the camp, so that he should be ready to do all those things that were needed if Esav came to fight him that night. Yaakov had a strategy. He davened, he bribed Esav, and now he needed to do personal hashladlas, personal efforts, sleeping in the camp so he could be prepared. And Yaakov took his two wives, his two handmaids, and his 11 children. Rashi asks, why is it written 11 children? Aren't there 12 children? He also had Dina, who was the daughter of Yaakov. And Dina, where was she? It teaches us that Yaakov hid her in a crate because he didn't want Esav the Rasha to see her and want to take her as a wife. But it seems that there were other calculations, other cheshbonos in Shemayim in heaven, because it is possible that if Dina had married Esav, she would have brought Esav to tshuva and to doing good. Yaakov is punished here, where his daughter, Dina, is taken by Shechem ben Hamor. Why is Yaakov punished for doing efforts? We see that he is meant to do efforts. The answer is that there's a level of hashtadlis which is too much. Putting his daughter in the box was too far. He was trying to control too much. There were other calculations, there were other cheshbonos in Shemayim, and it was not proper for Yaakov on his level to be putting in this much hashtadlis. And for that, he was punished. For us, we need to do more hashtadlis, more effort than Yaakov did. However, there are times when we also cross over that invisible line between hishtadlus and trying to control this situation, where we not only have a plan A, we have a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D in case all those other plans don't work out. That's when we come across as doing too much hishtadlus and not having enough bitachon and not relying enough on our prayers. The parsha continues Vayavar Esma Var Yabok, that Yaakov alone crossed this water passage. First, Yaakov had crossed his household, and then he forgot small containers that he took with him on the other side. So Yaakov returns to get them. The Tzeno Rena says, from here we learn that with tzaddikim, their money is very precious to them, as they don't get benefit from stolen things. Therefore, their money is valuable in their eyes, and because we see that Yaakov went back for these small containers, which could be thought of as insignificant, and therefore he was left alone. This is the last message in the parsha about hishtadlus. When we work for things and Hashem gives us something, it is a gift. We don't waste it or squander it. But even though Yaakov is involved in a struggle for his life, he is doing what is right and keeping perspective that all the gifts from Hashem are important because Hashem gave them. And if Hashem gave them to him, it means he needs them. We need what we have and we have what we need. In this week's parsha, we learn from the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav how we are supposed to approach challenges in our life. When we're confronted with challenges, we have to take a multi-pronged approach. First, we need to think of a strategy. What is the best way that I can get out of the situation I'm in and make those and do what is considered best in those circumstances and make efforts in that regard? Next, we need to daven because tefillah can change even how we make our efforts. Before Yaakov davened, when he was giving the gifts over to Esav, he hid the goats and the sheep in the middle of his whole speech because he was scared of Esav. After his tefillah, he gave the sheep first because he understood that Hashem was on his side. Finally, we must make an effort to make peace and not get confrontational even when we are right. And we must remember that our children, our families, are far more important than any money in the world. Have a good Shabbos.